Look at your neighbor and say, Happy New Year. Good to see you today. Now look at your second choice and say to them, I'm glad you made it today. And how many of you are grateful to see the coffee truck out front when you pulled in? Isn't that just a blessing today? We had some people that helped make that happen, and we're so grateful for that. Lord, I just want to say thank you today for the love and the grace that you shed abroad in our hearts, and for the purposes and the plans that you have for each and every one of us today. We submit our lives. We give you our heart, our lives today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And everyone said amen. I love you. So good to see you. Welcome to those who are watching online. If you haven't already done so, if you share this with others, we just love to invite people to come to church. And at the end of service today, we're all going to partake in communion together. All of our small groups will be back up and running this week. And I just pray that you'll find maybe not only the one for you, but maybe there's more than one that you can attend. I'd like to go to every one of them. I can't fit them all in. I go to a couple on a regular basis, and it has impacted my life in a great way. And so none of us are above learning and developing and changing, and I would just encourage you to do that. In those groups, you find such a fellowship of people. And I've been so amazed this year that even online, you know, our mindset, our paradigm is that we have to meet together in person. I believe there is a strength and a power to that. But in the meantime, when we haven't been able to, there's been incredible relationships that have been forged in these online meetings. I'm just amazed by it. And I'm just so grateful for that. So I want to encourage you to find one that you can get in with. And you know what? I've been in some meetings where people have, they've become a part of it, but you know, on the Zoom, you don't have to say anything, and you don't have to show your face. So if you just want to come in like covertly and hang out until you get to know some of the people, that's okay. You're welcome to do that. Maybe that's easier than for you to get up and walk into a meeting, whatever, however it works. But I just want to encourage you, make that a reality in your life this year. Connect with some people in these connect groups. You'll find them all. They're on our Facebook page. They're on a website. And then this week, we're having our first of the year. Foodlink contacted me. They said, are you interested in doing another food giveaway this Wednesday, January 6th? And so from 8 in the morning until gone, we're going to be doing that at St. Anthony's this week, and we'd appreciate anyone that is able to come and help. No experience necessary, on-the-job training, and you'll love it. Just watch where you park, because there are people that come that if you move your car in one moment, they will pull right in where you used to park. That's kind of a inside joke. Right, Melissa Chilano? And anyways, but it'll be a great time, and we bless a lot of people. I just want to tell you, and I forgot to say this in a first service, this past month, you sent a check to World Missions Alliance for $500. You sent money to the Los Angeles Dream Center, $500. You sent $500 to All Babies Cherished right here in Batavia, $500. And you also sent $500 to 8 Days of Hope that have come to Batavia and have served and was responsible for several tractor trailers, a load of food that came into our city, came into our county, and blessed a lot of people. You sowed seeds into that, and I just want to say thank you. Thank you for doing that. And we're going to continue to do that. And I believe that as we're moving forward now, I am just so grateful, and I believe with all of my heart, that a very dark season is coming to a close. But even though that is a reality and that truth, in the middle of dark times, challenging storms, we have to allow God to work what he wants to work in our lives in the midst of that. We don't turn off our relationship with God because things are really good or because things are really bad. I read this story about a pastor that was called to a man's house who had been bitten by a poisonous snake. And the man called the pastor to come to him and pray for him. And when he came and he prayed for him, the pastor began to say, "Lord, I thank you that this snake came and bit my friend, because the church and myself have been trying to reach this man for 15 years and he hasn't responded. But today he's called out to me. So Lord, if it took a snake to bite him to get him to receive prayer, I pray that you'd send another snake to him and bite him again." Now, I'm never going to do that. And as funny as that sounds, there is a reality in the middle of that. That sometimes it takes a storm, a calamity, a change, a hardship in our lives for us to call out to God. And my brothers and my sisters, we shouldn't wait for that. In the middle of difficulty, we must know that God has great plans for us and his plans have not changed. I love the scripture in Esther 4:14. It says, "Who knows whether you have come into the kingdom for such a time as this?" That in the midst of some challenges, great things happen. God's plan is revealed to you and I. In Psalm 33:11, "The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart are to all generations." Psalm 32:8 says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you," I love this, "with my eye." I'll guide you. I'll instruct you. I'll teach you. In a year that many of us have never experienced before, we can learn from his word, how do we live through the storms, the challenges, the difficulty, the heartache, the brokenness in our lives. And I have, in the middle of this year, discovered that I need some anchors in my life. I need something solid that I can cling to that will hold me from just going crazy and going in just a way that God never intended me to go. I need those anchors in my life. I read this week that in the year 2020, alcohol sales were up almost 60%, that some people are looking to that as an anchor in their lives. Alcoholism is on the rise, over 25% increase. I don't know how alcohol, the increase can go up 54, but alcoholism can only go up 20 or 25. I'll have to think about that. But nevertheless, some people have looked at those things as anchors in their lives. God never put that in an anchor. This isn't judgment. I'm just going to bring to you his word today that will help you and strengthen you and I. And the truth of the matter is, as far as anchors, I've never been a large boating enthusiast. And the reality of any time I've ever gotten in a seaworthy vessel, no one's ever said, "Here's the anchor. Look at how great it is. Look at how pretty it is." I've never seen it. Whether I've been on a small boat, I've been on many. I thank God for friends that have had them and have taken me out. If you've been around us, you know my boys, they've had boats and they've gone out. They're tubing enthusiasts, and my oldest boys can be very excitable when they get on those tubes and they invite their friends to join them. If you ever get that invitation, pray over it before you go. But I've been on cruise ships. I've gone, my wife and I have been on a couple cruises. I never saw the anchor. Saw other kinds of things. I never saw the anchor. But we need anchors in our lives. They are a symbol of safety to you and I. And I called a friend a few weeks ago and asked about a particular event, if they were still having it. And I said, "I need it. It's an anchor in my life." And Paul talks about anchors in his life in Acts chapter 27. He talks about in his journey to Rome and the importance of having these anchors in his life. And they were in a particular storm in chapter 27 and verse 13. It says, "A gentle south wind began to blow, and they saw their opportunity." Now, if you read this whole chapter, it's an amazing chapter. Paul said, "I don't think we should go," but those that were in authority, they overruled what he felt he prayed and God spoke to him and he said, we should not go. They went out anyway. Sometimes, you know, we pray and God gives us the answer or gives someone else an answer to help us make a decision. And we go ahead and do what we want. And we find ourselves in the middle of a storm because of it. My brothers and sisters, listen. When a gentle south wind began to blow, they saw their opportunity. So they weighed anchor, sailed along the shore of Crete. And before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the nor'easter swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind. So we gave way to it and were driven along. As we passed to the lee of a small island called Cauda, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. So the men hoisted it aboard. Then they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together because they were afraid they would run in aground on the sandbars of Syrtis. They lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. And we took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. And verse 19 says, on the third day they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. And when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging, we gave up hope of being saved. Verse 22, I urge you, Paul said, keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, don't be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep your courage, men. For I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Verse 29, fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. In an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let the lifeboat down to sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. Then Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, the ones that said they weren't listening to Paul, he said to them, unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved. There comes a moment you make a decision. And so what do we do when we're in the storm? What are some decisions that we have to make? Well, the first one is they said they made plans. They made the right plans to hold things together. The Bible says that they put rope underneath the ship. One would jump off the side of the ship and go underneath to the other side and wrap the rope around the ship to hold it together. Verse 17, your own personal life, when you are going through a storm, God does not tell you and I just to let go and to let everything have its own way and que sera, sera, what will be, do whatever you want, do whatever what feels good. You lost this, just go ahead. But God says, make the plans to hold things together. Your own personal life, in your family, so that fear and depression, anxiety, and wrong choices don't overcome you and become a part of who you are. And we do this with the Word of God, His unfailing promise in our lives that will never leave us but will always guide us along. Make the plans to hold things together. Secondly, is you have to learn to keep your courage because you can lose courage in the middle of a catastrophe, in the middle of a storm, in the middle of heartache. Verse 22 and 25, he says that because you can give it up. So Paul says, keep it because it's your choice. Again, with the power of God's word, not in your own strength, but with his word. I love the word, Nehemiah 8, verse 10. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I said this earlier, and I say it again this morning. There's nothing that just curls my backside more. That when I'm in a storm and when I'm going through it, for someone to come up and remind me, the joy of the Lord is your strength, Pastor. I said earlier this morning that I just want to poke people's eyeballs out to say that to me. That's not true. I need that in my life. How many of you know you need that? I've said this before. Years ago, I was leaving the church. I felt discouraged. I felt despondent. I wanted to drive home. I wanted to just bury myself and not talk to anybody anymore. I was so discouraged. And I'm walking across the parking lot and going to my car. And I hear out the corner, Becky yells out, "Pastor Marty, the joy of the Lord is your strength." And I'm like, "Oh, Lord, shut her up right now." But I needed that. Come on, how many of you know you need that in your life? Come on today. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Don't fear, I am with you. Do not be dismayed, I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." His word, strengthening you. Exodus 15:2, "The Lord is my strength and my song. He is my salvation. He is my God. I will praise him." I need my courage. And God is not leading you when you're going through something to pain, to misery, to a loss. His word is leading you and I to victory. He's leading you and I to have great courage. And we don't complain in the middle of the storm. You can, but it won't do you any good. No, we get up, we stand up on our own 2 feet, we put our heart together, we focus on Jesus, and we bolster and we say, "I can make it, I will make it, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm going forward, I'm not quitting, I'm not giving up, I'm not moving backwards, I'm not going to revert what I used to do, I'm going to go to the destiny, to the purpose, to the plan that God has for my life." And courage means even if you're in last place, you still go the distance and you finish. You don't give up because you're in last place. You keep on going. Courage means maybe you got to forgive someone who has purposely hurt you. Thank you for one amen. Courage means standing up to devastating news and believing that in the darkest moments, he's going to bring you through. You got to believe that. And sometimes, until you are in the storm, until you're in the chaos, you never discover the courage that God has placed in you. 6 years ago, we went through one of the most difficult times. Paulie, throw that picture up. There's my wife getting ready to get her first chemotherapy treatment. I had people come to me and say, "Where's your God now? I thought this Jesus that you serve was better than that." When in the moment I needed help, I needed strength, I needed somebody to say, "He's with you, he's for you." I had people coming up to me and say, "Where's your God now?" But can I tell you that in the middle of it, put the other one up, that face right there, getting ready to take poison into her body to kill a bigger evil, sat in that chair with a pick in her arm. A little Alex and Ani bracelet didn't hurt at the moment either. With a smile on her face, we stood together and we knew that if God be for us, who can be against us? You don't know the courage that God can give you until you face the storm. And then another experience that they discovered is that you got to lighten up in the middle of a storm. And let me tell you something, you don't know some of the junk that you got until you face a storm in your life. You don't know the stuff that you take on. Verse 18 says they begin to throw cargo overboard. Verse 19 says on the third day they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. Now I've been doing this what I'm doing for a long time. And if I've heard it once, I've heard it 10,000 times. God, take this from me. Sometimes he's waiting for you to take your hands and get rid of it yourself. Throw that junk away out of your life. You know, Paul had probably stopped at other ports along the way and picked up stuff at one time he thought were great value to him. But when you go through a storm, you find out what has value and what doesn't have any value. You find out some of the things you've been holding on to and carrying has no value. Maybe unforgiveness towards somebody. You think, "Why am I carrying this around?" People are quick to forgive when they're going through a storm. But why not do that before you go through that? But God wants you and I to lighten up. He wants you to get rid of some of the old habits that you've clung to. Maybe you've developed during this season of what we've been going through. Some junk that just found its way into our lives that has no value at all. And God's just saying, it's time for you. Get rid of it. Throw it overboard. You don't need it anymore. No more cheap living. No more unforgiveness. No more talking bad about other people. No more giving God the minimums. No more complaining about everything. After a while, you got to run out of things to complain about. You got to turn off CNN and Fox News and MSNBC, and you got to turn on God's Word and let it be a part of who you are and where you're going in your life. Get rid of them. Get rid of that stuff. I'm throwing it out of my life. I'm not going to allow it to be a part of my life. I'm going to give Him all of my heart. That needs to be our theme for this year. If you want my heart, I won't keep these other things and share my heart with others. You got it all. You can have it all. It's yours, Lord. I remember when we made the move that we did now, it's just a little over a year ago, and for the year leading up to that, we're in a home where there's four generations of stuff, and we're looking at stuff, and we're thinking, well, this is important, and that's important. Stuff that we collected, DVDs, CDs. I remember looking at all these CDs one day. My wife walks into my office. She's always so kind. She looks at me. She knew what I was thinking. I've got all these CDs. And I said to her, honey, why am I keeping this? She looked at me, and she just smiled. I said, I can say to Alexa, Alexa, play so-and-so. I don't even have to turn a dial. I don't have to push a button. And I'm keeping all this stuff. We had cookbooks from her mother, my mother. The reality of it is she never looked at them. If she wanted to cook something, she'd ask me how to first, and then she'd check out Google. And all of these cookbooks, a pickup truck full. We took them down one night with a couple cups of tea, and we had this beautiful campfire down at the edge of our property, getting rid of stuff with our own hands. And it made me think about clearing stuff out of my life so that God could do what He wanted in me. And how about these anchors? The Bible says in verse 29, fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks. You see, without anchors in your life, my brothers and my sisters, for some of you, there's difficulty ahead looking for you. He says, fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. I just share these four things. I'm going to be done and we're going to share communion. Number one anchor is God's Word. I've said this before already this morning. Several times. His Word is and always must be an anchor in your life. When everything else is going sideways and you don't know how to comprehend, you can't just go again to the news or to an opinion or to somebody's thought about something. You must go to what God's Word has to say about it. Because you will never make it through a storm unscathed unless you are willfully. You make the choice to willfully open up the pages of His book and find out where you're at in it. He will help you. He will guide you. He will lead you. The second anchor is the anchor that we need. It's called prayer. My brothers and my sisters, I have people all the time. I say to them, well, you know, how's the prayer life? Well, you know, I need to get better. Well, the reality of it is some people, they just don't pray. They ask other people to pray for them. And there's nothing wrong with that. But there comes a point in your life where you must stop and you must engage in a lifestyle of prayer. Even Jesus Himself, the Bible says, when He was exhausted and burdened, the Bible says in Luke chapter 5 and verse 16, that He would go, He would slip away, withdraw to a desolate place and pray. Jesus would even do that. And when you come to challenges in life, you need the anchor of prayer to help you through to the other side. I read these two quotes. I thought they were great. Even from Benjamin Franklin, work as if you were to live 100 years and pray as if you were going to die tomorrow. Wow. Here's another one by Charles Finney. Nothing tends more to cement the hearts of Christians than praying together. Never do they love one another so well as when they witness the outpouring of each other's hearts in prayer. Man, and nothing could be, that is so true. Prayer is an anchor that will keep you from drifting, from running when God tells you, I want you to stay right there. Drop that anchor of prayer in your life. Sometimes there will be no one around you that can pray for you, and you must pray yourself for your life, for your family, for the ones that you love. The third anchor is worship. This is such an powerful, an important part of our lives, that when we get into a storm, we are not to turn our attention to other things, but to worship the author and the finisher of our faith. Not worship him for what he can do for us, but worship him for who he is to us. And when we worship, we experience great freedom, we experience great victory, and great hope. Listen, don't let the enemy steal your worship when you're in the middle of a storm. Crank it up louder. Sing louder. I don't care if you can sing in a bucket or out of a bucket. Sing and worship the Lord. Even when it looks dark, bleak, and dangerous, don't let anything stop you from your worship. I love what C.S. Lewis, he said, listen to this, in worship, God imparts himself to us. That is so good. And the last, Debbie, come on up. We need the anchor of the church. Power and protection come from being anchored in the church. We find encouragement at the church. We find support at the church. The word of the Lord is poured out in our lives in the church. When you're in a storm, you don't run from it. You run to it. Because it's easier to fall into despair when you're going through things all alone. Oh, let me tell you something. I've been there. In Hebrews 10:25 and the Passion Translation, I love this. It's so relevant right now. He says, this is not a time to pull away and neglect meeting together, as some have formed the habit of doing, because we need each other. You hear that right there? I want to tell somebody that's watching this at home today, we need you. I need you. I get all what we're facing right now. I get all that. I need you. You need one another. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate that day dawning. You can wear a mask, you can stay distant, but you still need one another. You need one another. We don't need to come together and point fingers and pick out the faults in one another. I mean, even though we all got faults, we all got issues, we all got problems, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. There are none righteous, no, not one. All of your righteousness, the Bible says, is of filthy rags. Listen, we're all on the same field, but we need one another. Isn't that amazing? That we're jacked up from the floor up, but we still need one another. We need one another. And we need to encourage each other in God's word, in prayer, in worship, and be in his house, anchored in the most times of stress and of pain and of heartache. I was looking around this morning and I just seeing some people that, you know, we've used this term so many times. It's our tribe. You're my people. It kills me when I don't see people. I don't do well. I don't function well. I function great around people. And I know not everybody's like that. I know some people, they just, you know, I talked to somebody yesterday. They have not been out of their house since March. Not been out of the house. You might just as well, if that was me, you might just as well put just pile dirt on the house. It's over. That's not how God intended you and I to survive and to make it through life. You are the church of the living God. You are the called out ones. You are the ecclesia. You are separate. You are different. You have been bought with a price, the blood of Jesus. You are not your own. You've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Before the foundations of the earth were formed, God knew you and He chose you and He gave His Son at Calvary's cross to die. And in 3 days He rose from the grave to live, not just for Himself, but for the church. Amen. Come on, if you're going to clap, let's clap like the church this morning. And the Bible says in Hebrews 6:19, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul. Firm and secure. Thank you, Jesus. Close your eyes with me. I'm going to pray and then we're going to partake in communion together. This morning, if you did not take a communion cup that were on the tables on your way in, just lift up your hand right now and some of the ushers will bring those to you. Over here, Ron, can you see that, boys? Just put your hand up, wave it. There's some over here, guys. Just keep your hand up. Lord, we thank you today in your house, your church. Thank you for this anchor this morning, God. Thank you for this moment in our lives, Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus took bread, broke it, blessed it, He gave thanks. Said, this is my body. Just eyes closed. What a beautiful moment this is to remember His power. This is not, when we take communion, it's not just a repetitious act that we do religiously. This is an encounter with the living God. He said, remember me. God, we thank you. Sending Jesus. Hallelujah. He said, take it, eat it, every one of you. And remember me. Let's partake together. He took the cup. He said, this is my blood, the New Testament, the new covenant poured out for many. He says, when you drink it, remember me. When he shed his blood, he shed it for your sin and mine, for your healing. I pray, Lord, for each one that is here today, those that are watching, I pray healing over their lives, strength. Physically, emotionally, spiritually today, I ask in the name of Jesus, let's drink together. Thank you, Lord God. Praise your name. Thank you for your power here today, God. I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to do something this morning. Different.